In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen. Nowadays, forgiveness of sins is at times seen to be understood, perceived, and proclaimed in many different ways. And the one most disappointing yet factual reason for the various views on this topic is that there are more than 45,000 denominations of Christianity worldwide. Did that knock you off your chair? That's the truth. 45,000 denominations of Christianity worldwide, all claiming that the Holy Spirit is revealing to them and the Holy Spirit is working through them. Now, these denominations are divided into six main groups, that is Eastern and Western theology, the Church of the East, the Oriental Orthodoxy, the Eastern Orthodoxy, Roman Catholicism, Protestantism, and Restorationism. Now, the understanding, the mystery of the forgiveness of sins is understood to be common and equal amongst two of the six groups, namely Orthodoxy and Catholicism, that is, the apostolic denominations. But let's take a look at the Holy Scriptures and ascertain who alone can forgive sins. I can already hear, I can feel, I can sense the answer and the obviously remarks that who is able to forgive sins except God alone? You know, that's what some of the Pharisees and scribes thought in their hearts and in their minds in Mark chapter 2 verse 7 when Jesus said to the paralytic who was lowered from the rooftop by his friends, he said, "My son, your sins are forgiven you." See, they should have listened to what he said and not, you know, be poised and ready to argue and to attack. "My son." You know, they turn around and say, "Who can forgive sins except God?" But they didn't pay any attention or take notice that Jesus is calling this paralytic boy son. Notice he says, "My son." But hang on, he is not the father. Jesus is not the father, is he? And also in Daniel chapter 9, verse 9, we read that mercies and forgiveness of sins are of the Lord God, for we have rebelled against him, that is God the Father. So what is Jesus doing forgiving sins? Rightly so, beloved. Rightly so, praise be to his name. Because he is the Lord God who came down from heaven and was incarnate, that is, taking on our flesh of the Holy Spirit. He, God the Son, possessed the same omni-characteristics as did God the Father by the power of God the Holy Spirit. He knew what was in man, the scriptures say. Jesus knew what was in man, that is, in the mind, the heart, and the thoughts of man. Hence, he did not entrust himself to any man because he knew all men. Listen to this. These words have not been said to any other person on earth. Jesus Christ is the only true Son of God, the Messiah. He is God. The scriptures tell us that he did not entrust himself to any man because he knew all men, and he did not need a man to testify to him about anyone, for he himself knew what was in a man. John chapter 2, verse 24 to 25. This is the gospel reading for the sacrament of baptism. Jesus had power over nature because he created nature. Luke chapter 8, verse 24. Rebuked the wind and the waves of the seas. He rebuked them and they were still. Why? Because everything was in his hand, and without him, not even one thing existed of the things that existed. John chapter 1, verse 3. He will judge, beloved. He will judge according to Matthew 25. He will judge the world. He will judge mankind according to their deeds, whether good or evil. You see, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 17, the righteous and the wicked God judges. And in Matthew chapter 25, we read that Jesus will judge. He is God. Praise his name. In Isaiah chapter 33, verse 22, because the Lord God is the judge, so Jesus Christ, being the Lord in the Aramaic language, Maria, Lord God, Jesus Christ is Lord God, the God. Praise his name. You see, he, that is Jesus, may not be who the Father is. Jesus is not the Father. The Son is not the Father. But he most certainly and assuredly is what the Father is, and that is God by nature, and we become divine through him by grace. He is our Lord, our King, our Savior, our life giver, and the forgiver of our sins. Now, this Jesus, praise be to his name, the forgiver of sins, is no longer with us, is he? He's no longer with us on earth, right? So how do we receive this gracious and merciful act of forgiveness of sins? How? Where? Through whom? By whom? Jesus may have left us physically, but he has left us his gracious gifts and provisions readily available with his apostles within the apostolic church. Let us not forget that on the eve of the day of his resurrection, beloved, he visited his disciples in the upper room where the doors and the windows were closed, and he entered through the walls and gave them the peace of mind when he said, "Peace be with you." He gave them a peace of mind and heart. But look at what he did next. He breathed on them the Holy Spirit. Not in its fullness, no. Not the Spirit in his fullness, no. Though he said something interesting and encouraging to his disciples. In John chapter 20, verse 23, we're talking about forgiveness of sins. If you, O disciples and apostles, will forgive a man's sins, they will be forgiven him. And if you hold a man's sins, they will be held. You know, this coincides with what he said previously in verse 21. Again, peace be with you. Just as my Father has sent me, I also, with the same exact power and authority and intention and plan, am sending you. The Father sent me for the forgiveness of sins. I have the same authority as the Father because I am God by my nature. I now send you, O apostles, who will be the foundation of the church. According to St. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, we have been built upon the foundations of the apostles. You will do the exact same work, plan, signs, powers as I have. So, forgiveness of sins began with God, was fulfilled through Jesus Christ, and continues in the one holy apostolic Catholic with a lowercase c denoting the universal character of the church, not denoting the Roman Catholic Church, no. One holy apostolic universal church. So what is the process of the forgiveness of sins? Again, let's have a look at the prodigal son as an example, as a model. Number one, finding one's self in life and in particular in relation with God. Admitting to sins and transgressions which have been committed through foolishness and frailty and evil desires, admission. Repentance, that means to return to the Father, to come back to the Father, to come back to the care, the authority, the will, the plans, the most importantly, calling of the Father, which is to holiness and sanctity, which we all have been called to. Confessing of one's sins and transgressions to the church through her priesthood, which is the reflector of the light of the world, that is Jesus Christ. Now I can feel again, why do I need to confess to man when I have Jesus Christ? I can go straight to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, amen. Amen to that. Did you notice I didn't say confess to men, but rather to the priesthood, the light of Jesus Christ to the world, the authority, the office of the priesthood? After all, beloved, St. James encourages us in chapter 5, verse 16, to be confessing your offenses or sins to one another and pray one for another to be healed. So why don't we pose the same questions to St. James? St. James, why do I need to confess my sins to another person? I have the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say that through prayers, sins may be forgiven. Now again, you may be saying, see, we don't need a specific priest. Let me read the previous verses, beloved. James chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. And if any of you is suffering, let him pray. And if rejoicing, let him sing songs. And if one is ill physically or spiritually, let him call the elders, today known as the presbyters or the priest. The priest is not a bad word. Priest is not a dirty word, right? Call the elders or the presbyters or the priest of the church and let them pray over him and anoint him with the oil in the name of our Lord. And the prayer of faith heals the one who is ill. There's healing. And our Lord raises him up. And if sins were done, listen to this, if sins were done by him, they are forgiven him, because John chapter 20, verse 23, if you forgive the sins of men, they are forgiven, and if you don't, they are not forgiven, through Jesus Christ, not by the priest, but by the power vested in the priest through Jesus Christ. Jesus forgives sins. They are forgiven him, but he can be confessing your offenses one to another and pray one for another to be healed. Not forgiveness, to be healed. For the power of the prayer which a righteous person prays is great. One of the church fathers comments on this, and take heed. Stop everything. Stop the cooking, stop the cleaning, stop the vacuuming. Pull over to one side. Very important. He comments, we must use our common sense, which is not common, obviously, in applying this commandment. As far as the small everyday sins are concerned, we ought to admit them to one another and believe that we are saved from them by praying for each other. But if we have sinned in a more serious way, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, abortion, denouncing Jesus Christ, murder, then we ought to follow the principles of showing our leprosy to the priest and do penance for it as much and for as long as he thinks is right. Why? Why is the church father commenting? Because he is going back to his reference to Christ's precious and gracious gift of forgiveness, John chapter 20, verse 23, to his disciples. So we must keep in mind, beloved, forgiveness of sins didn't come at the click of a hand and instantaneous. It took for one innocent, holy, perfect man to be hanging on the cross, crying out, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." We too must be mourning in sorrow, remorse, and deprivation when we ask, "Father, forgive me for what I have sinned." When we cry out, "Lord, absolve the sins and transgressions of your servant." When we beseech, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner." We must be bold and courageous, yet in humility, to admit and confess our sins. We must be willing with a contrite spirit to confess our sins to the renowned physicians. Let me quote to you and share with you one of the prayers that the priest recites during the preparation of the host, the qurbana, while he is cooking the bread. And bear with me, because in my mind I'm singing it in Aramaic and trying to translate it in English. Let me say it in Aramaic. Samadat yawuta yawa maran. The medicine of repentance the Lord gave. Shamasha Allen will be singing this along with me. Samadat yawuta yawa maran. Al-asa wa tamhire. He gave to the renowned physicians, Ditehun kahnet ayata, who are the priests of the church. Aina damchei satana b'chevet aula, he who has been stricken by the wounds of Satan. Netemchau echwarate, let him come and show his wounds, that is repentance, that is confession. La'asya hakime, to the wise physicians, which are the priests. And they will give him the spiritual medicine, Samaruchanaya, which is the Holy Eucharist. See, forgiveness again, beloved, is not at a click of the finger. Lord God, I have sinned, forgive me. It's not repeating a prayer. Let me tell you a little bit about the liturgy, the divine liturgy of absolution that the faithful can request that the church will provide. And think about this. I think we've spoken about it, but just a refresher. If you feel that you want to be absolved according to the liturgy, the tradition, and the commands of the church, you need to consult your spiritual counselor, your priest, and confess, yes. Don't be shy. You know, if St. James is telling you that you can confess your sins to your BBF, is it BBF or BFF, Stephen? BBF. BFF. See? Getting old. To your BFF, your bestest friend, to your childhood friend. How much more to your spiritual father who is your priest? And confess. And the priest will go to the grave with that confession. Must go to the grave with that confession. And if the priest takes advantage of that confession, then he will go to the grave and face his maker and has to be held accountable. And the priest will then, according to what the father was commenting on James chapter 5 verses 13 to 16, will then examine and he will then prescribe that medicine, that treatment. Usually it's fasting, refraining from partaking in the Holy Eucharist, and continuing to read your scriptures, reading the lives of the holy saints, and consulting with you continuously to that day, that point, where the priest will feel comfortable along with you that you are ready to receive the absolution. And you will have to come to the priest, to the altar, at the altar of Christ, and kneel with your hands crossed on your chest. It denotes death, you know, people who die, their hands are folded against their chest. And the deacon will be standing behind you, and the priest will be standing in front of you. By the power vested in the priest through Jesus Christ, not man, Jesus Christ, the liturgy will be said over you, beseeching the Lord that you forgave the republicans, you forgave the sinners, the prostitutes, the harlots, the extortioners, the sinners, the republicans, the Zacchaeus, so to have mercy on this soul, O Lord Jesus Christ, while at that time you are beating your chest and constantly crying out, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. And when that is concluded, you stand up, the priest will kiss you on your forehead, and he will say, your sins are forgiven by Jesus Christ. And then he will remit, or he will commune you, he will have you partake in the holy body and blood of Christ, the Holy Eucharist, Qurbana Qadisha. Don't be afraid. If you haven't heard this, you know, when I speak about the liturgy of absolution, people say, I've never heard this. Well, it is. It's in the liturgical books. We do have that. We have it in English and we have it in Assyrian as well. So contemplate and think about it. Forgiveness of sins, beloved, didn't come at the click of the finger, instantaneous. There was one holy, sinless man hanging on the cross with his blood being shed, cried out, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And this is what we need to cry out to the Lord while being absolved by the authority of the church, which is the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise and glory be to his name now and at all times and forever. Amen.
Hope you enjoyed this week's message. Please don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share with your friends and family. For any future topic suggestions or to give us detailed feedback, please visit our link in the show notes, linktr.ee/doubleedgedsword. Until next time, God bless you all.